Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It is Henry Harris. It is Thursday, January 2nd, and we are here for another installment of the Weekly M1 Teleforum. Today's topic is triggers. The truth about triggers. We speak so much about the nature of the inside-out nature of our experience, and yet it just looks so compellingly true that events and circumstances can serve as triggers. How does that work? Or what can we say about that? Okay, but before we jump into the topic of triggers, we're going to review the basic idea behind this call. We are here exploring a simple truth. This is a mitzvah conversation. We're discussing the truth about Amunah, about the way in which there's a single creator. There's a single power. There's one power behind everything that is independent of everything, and everything is dependent on that power. And in particular, we're having a conversation about the way that shows up in our psychological experience, just how meaningful that can be to understand how far the implications are of Amunah are. You know, I've expressed on a number of occasions that our sages refer to Amunah as the basis of stability. Right, the Rambam says that Yesoda Yesodos, the foundation of all foundations, the Amud HaChachma, and the pillar of all wisdom, is Leida Sheyesh Sham Matsui Rishon, is to know there is a first independent cause, i.e., the God. So that's the foundation of all foundations. Imagine trying to build a stable building, a stable structure, without the benefit of stability, of constancy. And there is only one thing that is stable. There's only one thing that's constant. That's the creator. So gaining understanding about that has such meaningful implications. And then further, in another place, our sages say, tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh. A tzadik lives. He experiences his life force, his vitality through his emunah. So if you and I want to experience, if we find ourselves lacking stability, if we find ourselves lacking a sense of life force, of vitality, the sages would point us to this understanding. They would say, look over here, look at Amunah. And Amunah, as I said, for the purposes of what I'm interested in sharing, is regarding how our feeling states and our moods, states of mind, psychological experience are being shaped moment to moment to moment by that single simple truth. How does that work? Well, we are, in the same way that everything in this world is being powered at all times by one exclusive force, there is no power capable of creating, producing, causing inherently, then there is no other power than the single creator. It stands to reason then that our states of mind, our feelings and moods are also being shaped and created moment to moment by that creator, which means that we are having kind of there's a divine live feed. There is a divine live feed showing up in our heart mind that is, it's shaping the nature of our perceptions, our experience, you know, and this is how it looks to me. This is how it looks to me on my end, that I'm going through a variety of moods throughout my day life, etc. It's not always visible to me. There's plenty of times where I lose sight of this simple truth, and I find myself, just fooled by the notion of an outside-in world where the people and circumstances of my life are really shaping or affecting me. My past is shaping or affecting me in this moment. Those are the actual cause of this moment's experience. That's what it looks to me. That's how it looks to me at times. Now, inside of that narrow, that's a misunderstanding. I would describe that as kind of a narrowness of perspective. There's a lot you don't see in a narrow perspective. You know, it's like having like a little peephole with which to look out through. You could make all kinds of conclusions while you're looking through the peephole, but it's not necessarily reliable. You know, you might be seeing glimpses of things, but come on, how much do you really understand and can make up an assessment about what you're seeing through that peephole? You can't, right? But when you don't know that you're looking through a peephole, That's where it becomes really problematic. Meaning, if you know you're looking through a peephole, then okay, you can't see much, but you know that it has more to do with your limited perspective than it does with the actual reality out there. And that's helpful. You know, that's really helpful. It's when we don't understand that we're experiencing a peephole, then we start drawing conclusions about the world and about us and about our relationships or whatever there are. And then we can start running in directions that are not helpful, you know, and I think this is what we do innocently, but with real impact. I think this is what what Shlomo HaMelech points to when he says, God made people straight. There is a simplicity in our nature that we can live with narrow perspectives. We can live with widened perspectives. The problem is vehem bikshu cheshbonus rabos, but it's our calculations, it's our assessments that we engage in that are really problematic, right? The simplicity is in us. The simplicity means that we can live in all kinds of states of mind. We can live in a narrow perspective. We can live in a broad perspective. The problem is that we make all kinds of conclusions and assessments about what we're seeing that are not necessarily corroborated to the truth, right? That's when we, and when here we have all kinds of beautiful metaphors, you know, like the weather, the internal weather that we're experiencing. You know, we can live with rain. We can live with cloudy skies. The problem arises when we try to somehow change the weather. I mean, that just doesn't go very well, and it's exhausting. You know, if we were riding on a roller coaster, we can enjoy a roller coaster when it's going up and when it's going down. The problem arises when we think that there is an issue with the downward motion of the roller coaster, let's say, and we try to throw the brake. You know, that's not a good idea. Don't throw the brake on the roller coaster when it's going down, because it's based on a misunderstanding that, hey, there's a problem with this downward motion. So we get to have this beautiful emuna mitzvah, no matter what feeling state we're in, we get to do this mitzvah of emuna. The mitzvah of emuna is the inward affirmation that I know what's true about this world. I know what's true about my state of mind. I know what's true about my feelings. I know that disagreements with a spouse or with a child or with a colleague, or I know that, you know, coming to grips with mistakes from my past, I know those are all things that a human being can be with. I know that. The displeasure, the discomfort, the distress that I'm experiencing about those, you know, those conflicts or memories, they might feel gripping and overwhelming. That gripping, overwhelming feeling has more to do with my own misunderstanding. It means to say, I think I should be able to change my feelings. Something is causing my feelings that's out there. I don't like it. I'd like to oppose it or run from it. I should be able to change the feelings by fighting or running. But all that's a misunderstanding. The feelings that we're experiencing are safe. They're divinely sourced. It's not to say that they don't hurt. I'm not suggesting that they don't hurt at times. I don't know how to go through life without painful feelings. But I also know that, you know, as I've expressed many times, I'm here to partner with my Creator in bringing about new gifts of understanding in this world. I'm here to be a partner in revealing divine light and divine wisdom and love in this world. And those, the sages say, are likened to a birthing experience. And birth involves contractions. It just does. You know, it's a process that I participate in, and yet I'm not in control over. And then, you know what? It seems that human beings are pretty okay with that. Like the idea that we could undergo a process that we're not in control over, that involves consistent pain, and yet we're accepting of, and not only accepting of, that we have a deep reverence for, a deep feeling of reverence and even gratitude for, again, not to deny the pain associated with it, but let's be real, there's a reverence and even a gratitude with the whole phenomenon of giving birth. That's what our emotional states are. There's contractions, and there's, you know, on the other side of the contractions, there's a process that's unfolding that is deeply, deeply meaningful. And we can see that more deeply. We can understand that, and we can kind of flow with the divine flow, you know, as opposed to through misunderstanding, resist or try to change the divine flow. Okay. All right. So that's my intro. And let's talk about triggers, because I get this question a lot. When I present this understanding that our experience is coming from the inside out, it's not coming from the outside in. So people will typically say, look, I'm not sure I get that. Like, I know that if I were driving on a daily basis and would not experience traffic, the likelihood that I'd become agitated and frustrated with no traffic is, you know, pretty low. And on the other hand, the likelihood that I become agitated when there is traffic is much higher. Even if it's not 100% of the time, it's definitely higher. So how can you tell me that there's no correlation between the circumstance and my experience? Right? Similarly, if God forbid somebody were to find that their business partner or their marital partner was wronging them, was cheating them, was whatever it might be, you know, how could you tell me that that wouldn't be correlated to a feeling of violation, a feeling of great distress? Like, of course, if there was no damage being done, what's the likelihood that the person would experience a sense of outrage or anger or whatever, versus if they were to see and discover wrongdoing? How could you say that there's no correlation between the circumstances and the deep emotional distress or upset? And so my answer to that is I don't want to take away the human dimension that when we get, you know, the initial emotional experience we have in the face of some circumstances, it's so human. It's in many places we can acknowledge that there isn't really a transgression associated with it. I remember reading in a Sefer that when someone punches someone after being punched, he's not considered transgressing, because the human instinct is to fight back, right? Somebody gets hit, they hit back. It's like an instinctual kind of program aspect. It's not considered a transgression. So how can you tell me, you know, that seems to point very clearly like, hey, that's a triggered event, you know, and you're not even considered liable for that. That's just, it's programmed. It's an outside in experience. So what I would say to that is that it's true that there's a very natural human response to being violated or wronged or all kinds of, you know, events unfolding. And yet, I do think it's important to understand that this quote unquote trigger, it's valuable to ask the question, is it the actual cause of the emotional experience, or is it a revelation? Is it something that exposes a certain internal experience, right? In other words, let's restate that. Is it that the traffic or the finding out that someone stole from you, is that the cause of your internal experience, or is that something that reveals something about your internal experience? So I'm going to suggest that it has more. It's more of a revealing than a cause. You know, if someone were not married, if someone's married and is experiencing conflict and ongoing difficulty with a marital partner, it's certainly reasonable to say that if they weren't married, they wouldn't be experiencing that conflict, right? If they were sitting alone in their room, you know, with just their own life, there's a good chance that they wouldn't experience conflict. But it's also reasonable to say that that's their lack of conflict is not indicative of kind of a deep equilibrium, a deep kind of spiritual well-being. It's simply a lack of challenge. You know, it's just a lack of challenge. Nothing has been revealed about their true inner experience by virtue of being alone. Marriage exposes a person to the nature of their inner interest in their inner experience. It exposes the quality of their understanding about the truth of life. It exposes their level of understanding about how our psychological experience is shaped and created. That's what's going on. It's an exposer, a test, a challenge, a circumstance has this capacity to expose our existing level of understanding. And I'll give you a beautiful metaphor. When I was a kid, I had these pills that you could chew on after you brushed your teeth. Because, you know, when you're brushing teeth, your goal is to remove plaque, right? There's this bacteria that you know, adheres to your teeth and it can cause decay. And the goal is to brush that plaque off your teeth. Now, the plaque is not totally visible. So you could brush your teeth and you could do a 95% job of clearing the plaque. You could do a 42% job of clearing your plaque. It's not totally obvious whether you did the 95 or the 42% job. So there's companies that sell this red pill. You pop it in your mouth and you chew it after you brush. You pop the pill, you chew it, and then the redness of the pill kind of mixes into your saliva, and then swish it around a bit, you spit it out, and then you look at your mouth, and guess what? Wherever there is red adhering to your teeth, that tells you that you missed plaque there. Does that make sense? Right? There's plaque there, whether you notice it or you don't notice it, but you're using the red pill has this wonderful way of exposing the presence of the plaque. Now, is it reasonable? Do you see that it's not that the red pill caused the plaque? That's ridiculous, right? The plaque was there. The red pill did not in any way cause the plaque. It just simply reveals the presence of plaque. So it's no different. It's no different in terms of our psychological experience. The circumstances of our life don't have the power to create our psychological experience because, like we said, there's only one power. There's only one way things work. Now, what the circumstances can do is they can reveal the level of understanding we have about psychological experience. And that's what happens. You know, our extreme distress, agitation, struggle are basically like these exposing pills. That's what they are. They serve the purpose of exposing our lack of understanding. It just looks so compellingly clear to me that this traffic, this person, this child is causing my distress. That's obviously, it's true if I were sitting in a quiet room and there was no one around, or if I was driving on the road and no one else was on the road. Yes, I get it. I get that there wouldn't be the same distress. I get that. Except that doesn't tell you anything about your actual equilibrium. Here, see, we have to remind ourselves that as Jews, as thinking people, we're after understanding, we're after clarity, we're after a deeper appreciation of Einod Novado. There's nothing other than the single source. We want to go deeper and deeper into that truth. And in order to do that, we have to bump up against the degree to which we don't understand that truth. That's what this whole world is designed to do. This world in Hebrew is called Olam, which means hidden. We live in a place where the presence, this truth is concealed on some level, and it looks like an outside-in world. It looks like there's all kinds of powers that are directly shaping and affecting things. It looks like that. That's the way it looks in a world of hiddenness. But it's not true, and that's our fundamental mission as Jews and as people in this world is to see that truth. But we can't see it if we don't first acknowledge our lack of seeing it, our lack of understanding about it. And that's what circumstances do. They arouse all kinds of feelings, not because they have the power to arouse those feelings, simply, but all they have the power to do is to expose to us the misunderstanding we have. The misunderstanding is the source of the deep agitation and distress. That's the source. That's why I experience such upset about the traffic, or such upset about the conflict. And that's all that's really going on. So I hope those metaphors are clear. It doesn't change the fact that there's deep, there's work to do. But Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to know what's true about the work. Like, what is the work and what's not the work? The work is not to change the people around us. It's not to change the past in a direct sense. There is, all of our work begins with knowing the basis of what is really true about this world. You know, Reish Yis Chochma, the beginning of all wisdom, is Yiras Hashem, is understanding of this truth, of this spiritual truth. The beginning of all wisdom is that. And as we've also said, HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mir Shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except our capacity to acknowledge that. We are going to be tested as well. We're going to bump up against the degree to which we are living in misunderstanding. Misunderstanding is a gift, and we acquire more of that gift through a clear assessment, a clear, truthful understanding of what is, you know, okay, let's just first get clear. I'm not here to change people. I'm here to see and get new understanding. And there's only one source for that understanding. That's the creator of the universe. So I simplify my life by acknowledging, you know, what's true. And then I turn to my creator and I say, look, I'm missing understanding. Can you please give me understanding? That's a powerful prayer. And the very act of making that prayer is a tremendous success. It's a tremendous avoda. To be in that prayer is itself our job. That is our job in this world. We can't produce the results of our prayers, but God has promised us that when we turn to Him with sincerity, and sincerity means with a certain realness about what's true and what's not, then we will be blown away by how meaningful that work is and how effective it is in creating the partnership that God desires to create with us. So we're going to pause the recording here. I want to remind folks that I enjoy your comments and questions. If you want, you can reach me at henry@jewishwellbeing.org or 845-393-1529. And we're going to, as I said, pause the call, or rather the recording, and